I have been joined in studio by a group from Cork City in America, and God knows where else they're from. But they're here to talk to me about the world premiere of an up-and-coming play called The Dockers. Now, listeners will remember The Shawleys, which was a play that took place last year in the Everyman Theatre in Cork, amongst other places. And one of those that took part, that was one of the writers, is one of the guests today. That is Tess Maguire. And Tess has been joined in studio by Fada Beag, Patrick O'Brien O'Leary, his triple name, and Stephen Hogan. And I'm delighted to welcome these lovely people to the studio CRY, all in unison. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Absolutely fantastic. Tess, I'm going to start with you because I was so blown away with The Shawleys last year. Fantastic story. You know,
and
a true Cork story as well. Mm-hmm. And as you said to me off air, you know, you're the first, you're in Cork doing everything about Cork, even though you're not originally from Cork, which I think is just fantastic.
Now, I can claim to have lived in Cork when I was a baby because, you know, back then the listeners can't tell how young I am. But, you know, my dad came to Cork to work. And we lived up by the convent in Montanati.
Oh, indeed, in Montanati.
Indeed, nowhere I could live, you know, afford to live now. But I like to think that the people of Cork have, in their own way, adopted me. And they have such big, strong hearts. And there are so many stories, you know. And if you start one on a story, there will be at least half a dozen from the one person next to him, if not the others. So,
and that is the great thing. That's the great thing about Cork. There's always stories to be told.
It is.
And that's why it's great to have this opportunity to come in and talk about stories.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Because if you don't know where you're from, how are you going to know where you need to go? And people like the Shawleys and people like Dockers and all of the other blue collar or hard working, whatever way you want to look at them, they all had the same goal as everyone else: take care of themselves, each other, and their families.
Well, that's true. And when I got the brief that we're going to talk about The Dockers, I was thinking, hold on a while, I've been working with the Port of Cork for 20 years, so I'm in and out of the docks, working on the docks. Now, guys, keep it, don't be going there now. I drive a taxi, that's all I'd say on that. But over the years, I've come across the Dockers. They're the guys, they're like the stevedores. They're the guys that are going to be unloading the ships. Everything that you get at home, even down to your bag of flour, came in through grain, came in through Cork, fertilizer, salt. When we have the ice and we're looking for salt, they're the guys that are there. They're doing this work day in, day out. And there's great stories. And these stories are going back many decades.
And people tend to think of whatever magically appearing, and people like the Dockers can be almost invisible at times. And that's such a shame, because I know, now my father didn't work on the docks, but, you know, he was a hardworking man and his hands were like steel, you know. But like the Dockers here with me, they'd hearts of gold.
Well, that's it. And a lovely cue to welcome our two Dockers. I presume, gentlemen, you're probably retired at this stage. Or maybe you wished you were retired. Maybe you're never retired.
It was a rationalisation plan 9 years ago. And so we're actually retired.
And this is Fada I'm talking to, by the way.
Yeah, so there actually would be people working on the ships. But the way it was at the time, it was like a family held job. Like my own father, my grandfather worked in the docks, and I saw Stevie's brother, like my uncle worked in the docks. But all that went, like Stevie's family and a lot of the men that worked in the docks, most of them would have someone related, either a brother or a father gone by. So we're just trying to capture that, like that familiar societies is gone, and that's what we're trying to capture, more or less.
And that's one of the things, Father, that I would have captured, you know, would have kind of taken from meeting Dockers over the years, is that it was a family institution.
Yeah.
Generations of people working down through, and you're all related, there's cousins. The most important thing, you're all friends, and you're all there to help each other. As Tess said, you're working together for each other, for your families and for yourselves. Now, I'm looking across there at Steve, and you know, he's trying to keep quiet, but I always say the quiet ones are the ones to watch. Steve, when did you get involved as a docker?
I got involved in 1975. I'm actually a trained chef.
Of course, he brought no food, Tess.
My father says to me one day, he said, "What are you doing in a stupid job like that?" says he, "Bye. Come on down the quay with me and I get your job." And I'm looking at him and I said, "You know, I like what I'm doing," but I went along with him. And he said to me, "You know, get in there, stand, fight your way in." And then this fella says, points down, "Young Hammy." Of course, my father was after telling him the name, like. And he was, that's the way it went. I had two brothers down there as well. You know, they're gone to their maker now, but my grandfather was down there and my great-grandfather was down there. So that's how long we go back in the Cork Docks.
And of course, with that history comes tremendous stories.
Oh, yeah.
And I mentioned a few names there off air of fellas that you'd have remembered down through the years, like Evil now is one of them, and, you know, all these different guys. So the idea of the Dockers play, what is it that you're going to be putting together? I mean, is it the stories, the memories?
I think the best way to explain it is that we distilled the stories as many as we could without making everybody crazy into following the family lines down. So we have a fictional family in, I can't remember now if it's three or four generations, and the development of their life on the docks, you know, who went in, who stayed out and why, and when the unions started to come in. Now, it's all very personal, but we have tried to avoid as much as possible the political, because as my mother told me, the one way to start a fight is to talk politics. So we follow these families, and it is mainly the men who would be the last ones to open up. They may tell a story, but they're not necessarily going to unburden themselves. We're trying to show you a bit of what these families would have gone through to make sure that their children had shoes on their feet and bread on their table.
And also, if you'd mind, Tess, we want to capture the history, culture, and social economic diversity of the times. So it would be done in three stages. So it'll probably start in 50s, 60s, and then it'll move up and up to the present before, like, calls it redundancy, but rationalisation. So there's like three stages, so we're trying to envelop, you know, all these.
I'm looking at you two gentlemen across from me, and I know, just looking at your eyes, that this story is going to mean an awful lot to both of you, but also to your families, because you're going to relive some of the moments that you spent doing what was handed down to you.
Yeah.
And telling your story to a wider audience, which I think is a story that needs to be told and deserves to be told.
As regards the docks, like, they were really very badly paid. There was no such a thing as rain gear, Wellington boots,
health and safety.
That came in when one of their own was killed.
Well, some might say that health and safety has ruined the country. But
it has, yeah. But we're trying to show the people exactly what happened, what became of us from the start to the finish. And as you said about stories, like nicknames, like everybody down there had a nickname, no matter who you are. If something happened to you and they could say, like, this guy went to hospital, he came back out of hospital, I said, "You, how are you? Do you know something? They took away half me belly," so they nicknamed him Half a Belly. That's exactly, yeah. My father was known as Hammy Hogan, I was known as Young Hammy. Now I've other names as well, the Wazzy, the Bumble. If you remember, I was on Quicksilver with Bunny Carr.
Stop the lights.
Chalk it down.
Stop the lights.
Sorry,
Fantastic. Tess, now, I mean, your background, you're an actress, you're a singer, you do everything.
Well, you have to. MasterCard and Visa have to be paid.
Well, you do indeed. What drew you to get involved in something like this? Obviously, I suppose, being involved with the Shawleys.
Yeah. I've been lucky with the friends that I've made, the new family that I've created down here. And like that, no matter where you're from, you'll have stories that overlapped. You know, like I remember my granddad and my uncle working on the shipyards in Dublin. My father was a brushmaker, you know, when I was a kid. So, you know, you look at these things and how even the women just managed, you know, was there going to be a strike next week? Was there going to be a way to stretch whatever? Or as my mother said, put another cup of water in the stew. And that, I think, is what drew me, because even though everything that we've uncovered is in many ways unique, there is a universal feel about it, you know? So that's the kind of thing you want to make sure that people share, is the things that bring us all together, that have made us the way we are. And, you know, if I remember this right, and I'm sure the lads will correct me, but when I was being caught up on some of the background of the project, now, no offense to Jim Larkin and all of those, but it seemed that whatever way Cork went, the nation followed when it came to trying to better the dockers and the union movement and all of that. And I come from a very strong union family. So,
well, I think that is very true, Tess. And I think that history shows that Cork has led the way in a lot of things. And young Hammy, you mentioned there about health and safety. I mean, people probably don't realise the conditions that dockers actually worked in. And for their families at home, some of the roles that you would have been doing would have been so dangerous. And, you know, you'd have been unloading coal boats, or so you're inhaling the dust from coal and all that. I suppose your families are worried, number one, are we going to put bread on the table? But number two, is our husband actually going to come home today?
Well, you know, that is true as regards accidents, because on a regular basis, something would always happen. The very and most dangerous ones that I can remember are the pipe boats, because you take the wrong pipe and the whole lot falls in and you get your legs trapped. Now, it has happened to one docker one time. They picked the wrong pipe to take out a hole to the ship, and the whole lot just rolled, and he got his ankle caught in it. And there has been deaths down there. People got killed down there.
Falling into the hole.
Falling into the hole to the ship. Yeah, exactly, yes.
Getting the belt of the palace, window up high. But also, like, just in the dockers in general, to me, like, I done a thesis about the docks in Crawford College of Art and Design.
Wow.
So I've some of the stuff here, like, and the way I would kind of more or less describe a docker, like, would be spirited, brave, flawed, astute, shrewd. And the dark true history has at times been described and linked to hard living, hard drinking, rough and ready. This is true in cases, although the gentlemen, family men that I have had the pleasure to work with showed me respect and love that they hold for their own people, with their values and morals. Like the only way I can describe the dockers are a mixture of the following, like, strong union men, comedians, musicians, politicians, sportsmen, gamblers, queer, gay, no, fishermen, artists, fraudsters and con artists.
That about covers the whole lot. But you know what? One of the things that struck me, and listen, congratulations on your thesis.
Thank you.
Absolutely well done to you on that. One of the things that jumps out at me there is the fun that went on as well, because it wasn't all bad times and it wasn't all bad days. There was fun and skullduggery and skittery that went on there as well. And that's the only way that you got through your day.
It was mainly, so many times it's been said, it's either a feast or a famine. So many men would say that, because we were paid daily. We were never paid by the week. So if a ship comes up, look, you could be walking 2 days, you could be walking 5 days, but you get paid daily. That.
What was the luck of the draw?
More or less. Well, seniority walking down, like.
Of course. So, Tess, you're behind all this. You're the casting director, and I'm told that the cast is complete. I was going to audition, but unfortunately, I surplus the requirements.
You were a bit slow off the mark there. And we would have had to check your singing for sure, because, you know, there's always a bit of singing with us. We like to...
the old Banks like of Miolovini could be crept in there or something.
Well,
that,
now,
you know.
I think we've a bit more variety than
Steve, you're from Fairhill. We'd be singing the boys in Fairhill.
Oh, sure, there you go.
Well, yeah. I'm also the vice chairman of the Cork City Musical Society.
Are you indeed?
I am, yes. With Councillor Kieran McCarthy in Cork City.
I know
yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the vice chairman of the Cork City Musical Society.
Wow.
And I've been on the... I've been on the boards in the Everyman Palace.
Indeed.
And yes, I have. And I've been in the Firkin Crane.
Yes, that was with
but
me.
But, you know, guys, yeah. you're men of many talents. You have stories that could actually fill a whole day.
But most of us left school.
A week, Dara, not a day.
Tess, I want to turn to you for a second. Talk to me more about this production now, when it's going to be taking place and what's involved.
We are using one of the lesser used venues in Cork. We're going to the Unitarian Church. And it will give a different air to the style of the play. Whereas with Shawley's, we recreated, in a way, the where they were, where they lived and worked. This is a bit more fluid in that. Now we have 11 shows. It would be August 6th to August 17th. Now we are taking Sunday, August 11th off. It'll be 8 p.m. sharp every night. It is a family-friendly show. And as I say, there'll be these lads and there'll be a bit of sing-song in there. And I think you will leave with your heart lifted.
Now, for anybody that doesn't know the location of the Unitarian Church, I happen to know the place. I've been giving an interview on 96 one Christmas and they hauled me in for a sing-song. If you're going down Princes Street and where you pass the entrance to the English Market on the right, just two doors down, you have the gates into the Unitarian Church. It's absolutely spectacular inside there.
Beautiful inside there. Yeah, beautiful. And they have been very accommodating to make sure
they do a lot of arts and crafts stuff there as well. And they welcome everybody.
Yes.
Father,
yes.
You mentioned there when you were calling out the names of people, the types of people working there, and you referred to gay people as well. You know, you were all welcoming. The Unitarian are very welcoming of everybody, all sorts of people. Sounds like it's going to be a blast. Are ye busy learning scripts, or do you have any scripts to learn?
Oh, yeah, well especially Marion O'Wyatt. Like, she's doing a lot of editing.
And Marion was involved with the Shawley's as well.
And yes. Some yeah. Girls yes. And more.
Yeah. Right.
So, but, like, I was after doing a thesis a couple of years ago, and I always wanted to write something about the docks and the hardship and the crack as well. But it just so happened that Marion got in her head to do Joe Neville. They got in her head to do something about the docks and dockers. And Joe got onto people, and through that got onto me. So it was like hand in glove. Things fell in perfectly for both of us.
And you know what I think? That there's even a greater importance that you mightn't have even considered here. The docks in Cork are under threat. I mean, there is talk that it will be that the port will be moved down to Ringaskiddy in the near future. Now,
that will definitely happen.
Yes,
I'm there 20 years, lads, yeah. And I've been hearing this 20 years ago.
That's true.
You know, but it is going to happen. I think it's a shame if we take shipping out of the city, but you know, there are developers that want to develop the docklands and the whole lot. Yeah. But this is a story that really needs to be told and shared with a lot of people. Because maybe sometimes, as I said at the beginning, dockers are people you kind of take for granted. They're almost nameless, faceless people you don't even consider. When you're, like, even today, there was a banana boat went into Ringaskiddy. When people sit down to eat their fife banana, they don't even consider that there was actually a docker that took those off the ship to make sure that you got them for your kitchen table.
Definitely. And I think you know, every time that they have this talk of, you know, oh, sure, this will be better for that, it's almost as if they're taking a little of the heart out of Cork City and trying to put it somewhere else. And while you can grow your heart and, you know, share the love and that, when you just start carving up pieces of it, you lose so much.
Now, Tess, you know? You said to me at the outset you had a little blurb.
I do, so I will go over it again. So it is my party piece for today. Dockers, written by my cohorts here, Joey Neville and Marion Wyatt. The Unitarian Church, August 6th through 17th, except for Sunday the 11th, at 8 p.m. sharp. Now, I don't believe the box office is open yet. It will be, I believe, tickets online through Eventbrite. And that should be up within the next couple of days. Now, seating is limited. It is a more intimate venue. So if you're going to join us, and I hope you will, get your voices ready for the song, then when they go on sale, snap them up, boy.
Sounds absolutely fantastic, and I want to wish you the very, very best on this. Is there somewhere online that people can find out more information?
There's usually information on Facebook.
Right.
Now, I cannot remember, Stephen, is the Dockers page live yet, or is it part of Creative Collective Cork? Yeah. So Creative Collective Cork.
Fantastic.
Would have information
and
on that.
And what we'll do is we'll get a podcast of this interview and we'll send it on, and you can put
fantastic
that online as well and get
Darren,
it out there.
I'd love it.
Oh, that'd be great.
Guys.
One thing I want to say to you, and you're talking about stories.
Young Hammy, go on.
I've got to tell you this one. This is very good.
This is typical Cork lingo. I've got to tell you this one, Ed.
Hold on a while now. Listen, hold on a while now. But anyhow, we were on the docks going back. Like I said, and we were there one morning, we were waiting for the ship to come up. And we were all talking, saying, we call it the shanty, people call them canteens, we call them shanties. And this fellow said, he says, there's only two gangs. And if you remember, the boat people from Vietnam were starting to come in, and one fellow turned around, he says, there's a lot of Vietnamese boat people coming in here too. And the man says, I don't mind, says he, as long as they're on pallets. And that is actual fact. That was actual said.
I love it. Now, Father has just handed me a list of the nicknames of a lot of dockers. Some of them, I suppose, thankfully for themselves, they're probably dead now. Because we could be heading from the docks up to the South Mall. But I'm seeing Boot Boy and Teddy Boy and Fresh Eggs and Jerry the Lawyer, God, we won't even go there, lads. Mank, Step Out. Ah, listen, that brings back memories.
That's 21 pages, that's the page.
Jake, well, I'm going to give that back to you now before we get into trouble. But, lads, I want to thank you so much for coming in. And
thank you.
Thanks for taking
you
the time to come down to Yall by the sea, even though I'm from Cove. And, listen, we look forward to getting along to the Dockers and hearing you guys in action, hearing the real traditional Cork accent. So, as they say in Cork, lads, nice one.
Nice one, bye. See you later, lads.
We'll have
and
a
Tess,
track.
Thanks so much for coming in. And we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Thank you.